I trust you're here of your own free will, and you had a chance to escape if you had an inclination to and didn't, so I thank the Lord for that. But we've got some treats afterwards, but we're sort of like a mission. I don't know if you've ever been to a big city where they have a mission and they invite people in off the street and they'll feed them, but first they have to hear a gospel message and the preacher will preach to them. And they'll have a little service, and then they'll feed them. And so that's sort of what we're going to do today. Not anything big, but we do have some things at the end we need to take care of. Weather's been rough on everybody. I realize that. And I asked Brother Bradley about preaching Wednesday night. He said he had a message. He'd been trying to get to Clark's Creek to preach for 2 weeks now. And I've had a message I've been working on for a couple of weeks as well. I was going to preach out of Luke chapter number 2 and thought, that's just what the Lord would have. And then yesterday morning I got up and I got studying about it, and the Lord sort of changed direction there. So I had to start over again. But the Lord gave me a message out of Romans chapter number 8. And let's read verses 1 through 9. I want to try to preach this morning on the subject, the Spirit of Christmas. The Spirit of Christmas. Look what the Bible says. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now look at the last of verse number 9. It says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for allowing us to be here in thy house this morning, and Lord, the good program that we've had, and Lord, we are thankful for what it all reminds us of. Lord, I pray for your help and your liberty this morning. I pray, God, that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be directed towards what the Spirit of Christmas is really all about. And Lord, that you would help today as only you can. Lord, I pray you'd bind the devil and not let him hinder in anything that's said or done. And Lord, I pray that you just loose my lips and my thoughts this morning and just make it real free and easy. Lord, I want to thank you for all that you've done for us, most of all the greatest gift of all time. Lord, where you died upon the cross for our sins, and Lord, you offered unto us the gift of eternal life. Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray you'd just have your way now and speak to each and every heart and help us in the days ahead and in the years ahead. And we'll thank you for all that you do. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. And so I trust you'll help us by your prayers this morning. As I said, I woke up yesterday and I began to study, and the thought came to my mind, the Spirit of Christmas. And, the Spirit of Christmas and the Spirit of Christ is one and the same thing. Look there in verse number 9, what the Bible says. There's two times you find the phrase in the Bible, the Spirit of Christ. But in verse 9 it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So I want to try to preach this morning on the Spirit of Christmas. We live in a society that there is more information available now than there's ever been at any time in history. I was talking with one of my friends the other night, one of my preacher friends, and we were talking about the internet and the wealth of information. I mean,
anything you want to find out, you can go and you can find out. You don't have to have an Encyclopedia Britannica anymore like we used to growing up. You know, you'd add one a month for a year, and by the time you got all of them, all that information's out of date. I mean, it's just at your fingertips, anything you want to find out. And I thought it would be interesting yesterday to type in the spirit of Christmas. And so I typed it in, and one of the things that came up, there's many things that came up. There's a website called ehow.com. And ehow.com is a self-help website. You can go there and ask it any question, and you'll find several articles that'll give you the answer. How to sharpen a knife, how to get crayons out of the carpet, you know, how to can corn, you know, whatever, anything you can think of, you can go there. And so there was an article entitled How to Get Into the Spirit of Christmas, and there were several articles along those lines. There was an article, How to Get Into the Spirit of Christmas and Stay There. There was one, How to Get My Wife Back in the Spirit of Christmas. You know, I figured that'd have been How to Get My Husband Back in the Spirit of Christmas, but it's How to Get My Wife. There's one called Get the Christmas Spirit, and several articles on how to get, how to keep, how to get somebody else into the Christmas spirit. I found about 10 things on one of them I was going to share quickly with you this morning. One writer said, number one, shop early so you don't have to fight with the crowds. Number two, wish people a happy holiday. That's what it says. You know, you want to get into the spirit of Christmas, wish somebody a happy holiday. I've heard more talk about that in the past week. You know, Merry Christmas, happy holiday, back and forth. But it said, honestly, to get in the spirit of Christmas, wish people a happy holiday. Then it said, drop some spare coins in the Salvation Army bucket. Not too much, you know, just a few. Do something nice for someone. Number four. Number five, volunteer to a worthy cause. Number six, organize a drive to help others more unfortunate than you are. Number seven, play Christmas music. Number eight, watch Christmas movies. Number nine, read a Christmas carol or some other Christmas story. Number 10, decorate your house, decorate your home in Christmas decorations. And so I read and thought about this, and I thought to myself, I wonder how many people who talk about the spirit of Christmas. We've all heard people talk about, I just can't get into the spirit this year, or I'm having trouble getting into the spirit of Christmas and all like that. I wonder how many people who talk about that actually realize that the spirit of Christ and the spirit of Christmas is the same thing. There's only three little letters separate the phrase there. In verse number 9, the last part, he said, now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We could go a little bit farther and say, if any man have not the spirit of Christmas, he is none of his. I'm talking about in a literal biblical sense this morning, talking about the spirit of Christmas, because if there was no spirit of Christ, there'd be no spirit of Christmas. You cannot have one without the other. So the Spirit of Christ we see here in the Word of God. And I was studying for the radio broadcast last week, and I'd like to study a lot about history and America and how it used to be and where our foundations come from. And I began to study and try to find out all I could about Christmas in early America. And I found out something that I had never realized before, and that was that Christmas in early America was not even popular. It was not widely celebrated until after 1843. In 1843, there's an English writer named Charles Dickens, and he had had some success as a writer, but he had written a few works that were bombs, and they weren't picked up and read by the English people. And he thought at a young age, I think he was in his early 30s, that maybe his writing career was all washed up, and he began to walk the streets of London and try to find some inspiration to write about something. And so he wrote the Christmas Carol. And everybody's familiar with that little story of the Christmas Carol and about Ebenezer Scrooge and the three spirits of Christmas that visited him. And he wrote that story and it became widely published and it became popular in America. And in fact, if you read about the life of Charles Dickens, they call him the father of modern Christmas. And people begin to read the story, and so things begin to change in America. But I thought that was interesting. And yesterday, I thought, now, if that had such an effect on our country, it probably has some stuff in it that I don't know about. How many's ever read the original Christmas Carol? There's two on that side, and you're just shy. Surely, to my goodness, there's two people over here on this side. You know what I found out? I went yesterday morning and Noah came up there and I said, I need you to run buy me a book at the bookstore. And anyway, he didn't have to do that. I found it online. I sat down, I read the whole original tale and or story, and in it, and I'm sure everybody's familiar with it, but in that story, Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by the three spirits of Christmas, past, present, and future. And those experiences, they transform Mr. Scrooge. Now, how many seen it on television? There's a few more. Everybody knows what I'm talking about this morning. But what I found out many times is if you read something, there's more to it than is allowed to be on TV or in movies or things like that. And I found out when I read it that it has a very spiritual overtone to it. In fact, in the very beginning of it, Mr. Scrooge is described as this: Scrooge, a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. That wouldn't be politically correct in our society to call somebody an old sinner, would it? But it goes through the story and it tells about this old sinner named Mr. Scrooge, and I'm sure everybody's familiar with how it is. By the end of it, it says this. It says he had been sobbing violently in his conflict with the spirit, and his face was wet with tears. Now you see why maybe you've never read it or maybe hadn't even seen it on TV in a long time, because it's got a lot of spirituality to it. And if you read it, knowing what I know about the Bible, to me, the story is about an old sinner that meets the spirit of Christmas, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and gets convicted over his sinful Scrooge ways and becomes transformed from the inside out. Now, it talks about there's a lot of things in the original story that you've never seen on TV. I would just recommend you get it and read it. It is a good story. But I want to borrow this morning Mr. Dickens' outline. The world has surely borrowed it many, many times down through the years, because there's cartoons and movies and other shows that has taken the past, present, and future. And I want to borrow that this morning, and I want to preach just a little message on the subject, the spirit of Christmas. First of all, and most everybody's familiar with it this morning, there's the spirit of Christmas past. Look here in verse number 3 in Romans chapter number 8. Now maybe you've never thought of Romans chapter number 8 as being a Christmas story or really having anything to do with it, but it does. It talks about the Spirit of Christ, and it talks about why Christ came, and it talks about when Christ came into the world. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 3 says, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, here it is, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh." What we have there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, we have what is called the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's talking about when God sent Jesus into this world in the likeness, not in sinful flesh, but in the likeness of sinful flesh, which means he was born of a woman. He was born a little baby. He had flesh just like all little babies do. And he grew and he became a man just like all of us do. It was in the likeness of sinful flesh, not sinful flesh. But he looked like you and he looked like me. And he had flesh and blood, and he got tired when he traveled, and he slept at night, and all of these things. That's the incarnation. Christmas, the spirit of Christmas past, is about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what Preacher Eric preached about on the radio this morning. He talked about what is Christmas really all about. And I told Kim, I said, I can't believe he'd get on there and preach my message on the radio before I got to get over to church and preach it. But a lot of the things he was talking about, and then I told her, I said, well, really, no preacher worth anything is going to let Christmas go by and not tell everybody what Christmas is really all about. It's about how Jesus, the Son of God, was born into this world. The Bible says there, in the likeness of sinful flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. It's about what the play was about this morning, and the angels appeared to the shepherds and they brought the good news, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you know what? That's about all this old sinful world can stand. That's about as far as they can take it, is just a little bit. Keep him in the manger there and let the angels come and say their little bit. And that's about all the world can stand. And it's getting where it can't even stand that. But more than that, Christmas is about how the Holy Ghost of God moved on a virgin. And she gave birth to the Son of God. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 7 in verse number 14, it says, therefore the Lord shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's what the Spirit of Christmas past. That's what Christmas is really all about. If we get outside of the Bible, we've missed the whole thing. But it's about how the sinless, spotless Lamb of God came among us, and everything about His birth, from the swaddling clothes to the gifts brought by the wise men, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, every bit of that points to Jesus Christ being a king, and that this king came not to live but to die. You know, the swaddling clothes over there in Luke chapter number 2, that means strips of cloth. And it's the same strips of cloth that they would take and wrap a dead body in when Jesus died. That's what they did. They took and they wrapped him in myrrh. That's what the Bible says. Even the events at his birth point to that he came to die upon the cross for you and I, for our sins. It points to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the good tidings of great joy, that which shall be to all people. That's what it's all about. That's the good news this morning. The spirit of Christmas past appeared to the shepherds as they were there in the field, and they were watching their flocks by night. You know, that's how you and I were before we got saved. We were in darkness. You were in darkness before you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care if you got saved when you were a little child, or maybe you were an adult, or maybe even on up in your years. But before you met the Lord Jesus Christ, you were just walking in darkness. And the Bible says that the shepherds were abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then the Bible says that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. You know what happens to a sinner when they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? First of all, they're in the darkness, but they're brought into the light. That's what happened to you when you got saved. And then the Bible says, and they were sore afraid. I don't know about you, but when I got into the light, I was afraid. I was afraid I was going to die and go to hell if I didn't get to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for old time conviction. I'm thankful for the Lord working on our heart and showing us and convincing us that this message is real. That's what conviction is. It's like this. I might not convince you of it, but the Holy Ghost can. He can come to your heart and bring you from darkness to light and bring conviction and fear into your heart. But then I like the part where the Bible says that they came and they saw. the things which the angel preached about. Boy, I'm glad I didn't just get afraid that I was going to die and go to hell. I'm glad that I got a little bit farther and I saw the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up with arms extended out to me that said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Aren't you glad for that? They came and they saw. And then the Bible says they went away greatly. They went away rejoicing, praising God. If you get saved by the grace of God, you'll go tell somebody else. That's pretty good testimony, isn't it? When you think about the spirit of Christmas past, and it's prophetic. What I mean, it's no accident that the shepherds are the ones that got that first message. And they're the ones that went away greatly rejoicing, because ever since that time, shepherds, you know the word pastor and the word shepherd's the same thing. Been going out and telling others about what they've heard and what they've seen the Lord Jesus Christ do. And I can testify this morning with the apostles that said in Acts chapter 10 verse 39, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did in the land of the Jews, whom they slew and hanged on a tree." Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. "And they slew him and they hung him on a tree." But you know what? It wasn't a Fraser fir. It was an old rugged cross. "And they took my Lord and they took your Lord and they hung him on a tree." And Christmas is not about an evergreen tree, but it's about an old rugged tree. The Bible calls it a tree. But I'm glad he didn't stay on that tree. He came down. And I'm glad he didn't stay in that tomb. He came up. And I'm glad he didn't stay on this earth. He went up. And I'm glad he ain't staying up. I'm glad he's coming back. Well, the Christmas, the spirit of past, there's a whole lot involved in that. That's why the world can't hardly even stand to hear it. But I'm glad today he's not dead. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 says this. It says, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." That means he's coming back. And boy, there's something better than this world. He's going to change us to be like him. That word quicken there, it means revive. To revitalize, to bring to life again. We'll not only see him, we'll not only see each other, but we'll see those that have gone on before us. The spirit of Christmas past has a whole lot wrapped up in it. You get out of the Bible, you miss the whole thing. It's about God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. I'm glad it wasn't in sinful flesh, but in the likeness of sinful flesh. That is just a little bit this morning what Christmas is all about, the spirit of Christmas past. But we move on this morning. We go into the spirit of Christmas present. You know, there's something in there, I believe, about the spirit of Christmas present as well. Look in verse number 5. The Bible says this, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." In Romans chapter number 8, there's two laws that it's talking about. It's talking about the law of the Spirit, which is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's talking about the other side, the law of the flesh, which is death and enmity against God. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. This might make some of you uncomfortable or a little bit angry this morning to think about this, but most of what we accept today as the spirit of Christmas is carnal and fleshly and really doesn't have anything to do with the true spirit of Christ or the real spirit of Christmas, but it pertains to the flesh. What we have received in America in this day and time is not even the Christmas of our forefathers, who began to celebrate Christmas a little bit more, but it was stressed that it was to help the poor and the unfortunate and to remember the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what we have today, many times all the world over, is just a dry husk of a thing with no meat on the inside. From November 1st, used to, they just at least wait till after Thanksgiving. But now it just goes from Halloween right into Christmas. And they'll take down one and they immediately get ready for the other. And what we have in society today is just a constant message of shop and eat and decorate and watch movies and shop and rap and go here and go there and all of these things. And it's no wonder that what is promoted to us as what ought to be the happiest time of the year, you know as well as I do, there's more depression goes on at Christmas time and more anxiety, and there's more people tries to or is successful in committing suicide at Christmas time than any other time of the year. For a lot of people, they don't enjoy Christmas. They don't get what they ought to get out of it. Could be because what we're trying to get out of it is not what God put into it, but it's a time many times that's filled with heartache and strife and drunkenness and depression and all of these things, false hopes and dreams, and even in the church. And I've said this for years and years. It's harder to do anything for the Lord at Christmas time than it is any other time of the year. It's hard to. Preacher Greg stood up, when was it? Friday night before last. I've been in revival down at Midway, and he stood up and he said, I feel like the Lord's not done. I feel like we need to go on. And I thought somebody opened up the door in the back. I think it's a test. I'm looking forward to, I'm interested to see what the Lord's doing. And then last week, we was going to go on last week, but the weather was so bad. And so he said, we'll start again Monday night. But preacher, don't you know? All we got to do at this time of the year. Oh, it's about the Lord. But now we've got other things to do than to mess with the Lord's stuff. You know, couldn't we have revival in the fall or in the spring or sometime like that? You know what I'm talking about. We're too busy. We're too busy in what is supposed to be all about Him. And really, really tonight or this morning, what much of what we do is in the flesh. Look what it says in verse number 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm just going to give you three quick things about the spirit of Christmas present. Number one, it's fleshly in its foundation. You know, you ever learned why Christmas is on December the 25th? You know who started that was the Roman Catholic Church. And they started that to compete with the pagans' time of festival in the middle of the winter, the winter solstice. And December 25th, what they celebrated was the death of the sun god and the rebirth, because December 21st is the shortest day of the year. And so the sun god, the old Baal worship, the sun god dies. But on the next day, He's reborn, and the days begin to get longer and longer. And so the Roman Catholic Church, they're the ones that labeled December the 25th as Christ's birthday. That's the foundation of the whole thing. That's where that comes from. This morning is the copying or the trying to compete with the pagans' winter solstice. And I'm pretty sure that Jesus was not born on December the 25th. I think when we get to heaven, if somebody raises their hand and says, Lord, were we supposed to celebrate your birthday? I think the Lord might say, didn't I tell you? He didn't tell us when. The Bible doesn't say he was born. The Bible doesn't give his birthday. The reason the early Christians in America didn't widely celebrate Christmas is because they were it grieved them to do anything at a time of the year that was known for such heathenism, the winter solstice. That's why they didn't celebrate it, because it was known then, over 150 years ago, to be a time of pagan worship. And it was hard for them early Christians that had just went through the revival of the Great Awakening to get excited about something that had so much paganism wrapped up in it. All we hear about nowadays is Frosty and Rudolph and the Grinch and my favorite, Santa Claus. You hear more about that than you do about the Lord Jesus Christ and His birth. It's no accident that Santa Claus has many characteristics, many divine characteristics of the Lord. Just for example, this morning, Santa Claus is supposedly omniscient. You know what that means? That means he knows everything. Supposedly. He knows if you've been naughty or nice. He knows if you've been sleeping, going to bed, and all that. That's what you tell children. I thought that's something that only God knew was everybody. And all of their good and all of their bad. But supposedly Santa Claus knows all about this. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent, which means all powerful. Now, I think if you could make reindeer fly, that'd be pretty high up on the list. To be able to fly in a sleigh with magical reindeer, you may not notice it, but you will after today, I hope. Notice how many times magic is mentioned in connection with Santa Claus. He's omniscient, knows everything. He's omnipotent. He can do anything. He is omnipresent. He can be everywhere at one time. Go around the whole world in one night. You know, little children, they see Santa Claus on the street corner ringing a bell, or in the mall sitting in a seat, and they say, "There's Santa Claus, there's Santa Claus." Why, he's everywhere. Only God can be everywhere at one time. But you see what gets into the minds of these little children. There's so much along those lines. It is fleshly in its foundation. It's no accident that Santa Claus lives in the North Pole. And he is worshipped by millions of children all around the world. Do you think this morning, looking from a spiritual standpoint, that the devil might be behind that? Because, see, the devil had a desire to be like God. Read Isaiah chapter 14 when you get home. He said, "I will be like the Most High. I will ascend into the sides of the north." You say, "Oh, preacher, you've been watching that conspiracy theory show or something." That's crazy. It's fleshly in its foundation. It is fleshly in its focus. I'll give you a Bible reading assignment. When you get home, read Jeremiah chapter 10. You know, it's very interesting in Jeremiah chapter number 10. The Lord says over there, he starts out and he says, "Learn not the way of the heathen." He's saying, don't be like them idol worshipers. Don't be like those Baal worshipers. And he goes on and down and he says, here's what the heathen do. "Learn not the way of the heathen, for the axeman goes into the forest. And he cuts himself down a tree, and he drags it home, and he makes it stand upright, and he decks it with silver and gold." Does that sound like anything? Where'd that come from anyway? Dragging a live tree full of chemicals and mice nests and everything else and spider webs and hibernated bugs into your house and heating it all up. We wonder why we're all sick after Christmas. It's fleshly in its focus. It's fleshly in its foundation. It's fleshly in its focus. I found another article that said how to get in the Christmas spirit. Put up holly, not Sister Holly, but put up the holly berries, you know, above the doorways. And it said make you a countdown sign to December 25th and watch classic holiday movies and listen to Christmas music and make a delicious Christmas dinner and decorate your house as much as you can. And let me ask you, where's the Lord Jesus Christ in all of that stuff? That's not the real spirit of Christmas. It's what we celebrate today is fleshly in its foundation. It is fleshly in its focus. And it is fleshly in its fun. People say, but it's for the children. And I'll tell you this morning, it's a lie. It is a lie to tell children about a Santa Claus that is not real and cannot do any of those things. And to have them get up on Christmas morning and look under the tree and it says, from Santa. I have never given that rascal credit for what I've worked for all year long and gone out and bought these things. That's from Daddy and Mama. Now, if you want to give credit to some fat guy in a red suit and his stuff from China, you go ahead, but I'm telling you. John chapter number 8 tells us that the devil is a father of lies. Oh, but preacher, it's just all in fun. How fun can something built on a lie be? And that's what it is. Boy, you're sucking all my Christmas spirit out. Maybe it needs to go this morning. Look what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for goes on verse 15, says, in what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? It might be one reason why for many people in the world Christmas is such a bomb. It's such a disappointment because we Christians work so hard to take something that is heathen in its origin and marry it up with something that's close to the devil and try to make something Christian out of it. And God said, don't you marry the righteous and the unrighteous. You think the Lord's pleased with Santa Claus and all the emphasis on stuff that really has no importance at all? All the buying and going in debt and stressing and going and all of these things. But we are preached to that we have to do these things. We have to. Why do we do that? Because that's what we tell ourselves. We have to. We have to get a present for our boss because if we don't, he won't like us and he don't need anything. But we have to do this and we have to go over there and we have to buy this and we have to. I don't know about anybody else, but that just kills it for me. I'd like to out of my own free will, but this have to business, it can go. I'll give you one carnal illustration this morning. And the only reason I'm going to give you this is because I know who I'm preaching to. I know you'll understand what I'm talking about. Are you saying I'm carnal, preacher? Well, me too in this respect. How many seen that movie, Elf? Come on. I know. We sat the other night, Preacher Greg and Sister Gina, and watched it. I said, let's just fast forward and watch all the funny parts. If you've not seen it, there's a movie. It's called Elf. And it's about this human that's raised by the elves in the North Pole. And he finds out that he's human, and so they're going to send him to New York City where his daddy is. And so he goes to New York City all dressed like an elf, and he ends up in a department store because everybody thinks he's crazy, and he needs to work up in the toy department in this big department store. And they tell him, they say, Santa's coming tomorrow, and he's all excited because he knows Santa. You remember that? And the next day, Santa supposedly comes in, and since Elf knows the supposedly real Santa, he runs over to him, and he's all excited. And when he gets up close to him, he says, you're not Santa. And the guy sitting there in the chair, he says, you know, he basically tells him to be quiet and to hush and to go away. And old Buddy, the Elf, he leans down, and he looks at Santa, and he goes, you stink. He said, you don't smell like the real Santa. And you know, I got to thinking about that. I wonder if the Holy Spirit of God would come into our homes and see how we celebrate supposedly Christmas, what we call the birthday of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if the Holy Spirit would look at us and say, you stink. That's not the real thing. That's not got anything to do with what the birth of my son is all about. You think about that this morning. You say, preacher, would the Lord really say something like that? Verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What if the Lord gave us a report card on our Christmas celebration in our heart and how we really thought about the whole thing? There's the spirit of Christmas present, and last of all, and I'm almost done this morning, there's the spirit of Christmas future. You know, there's a whole lot of money made in this world, people talking about the future, what they really don't even know is going to happen. And I don't want to add to it this morning because I don't know the future. But I believe we can look and discern and read God's Word and see the writing on the wall. And I believe if time goes on and the Lord Jesus doesn't come soon, but I hope He does. But if the Lord doesn't come soon, you know what I think the future, the spirit of Christmas future is going to be like? Let me give you some good a few examples this morning. I read a headline this last week that said this: Red Cross bans Christmas. That happened in the United Kingdom. The Red Cross. 430 different stations that they have there in the United Kingdom went to their offices and told them to take down their Christmas decorations. And if you don't know it this morning, the Red Cross was originally a Christian organization. The Red Cross. That's where that gets us. The Red Cross. We're going to help people. We're going to save lives. If supposedly Christian organizations are banning Christmas, I've read all kinds of things this year. Town Hall removes nativity scene. That's been going on for years. City changes name of Christmas festival to holiday festival. Bank pulls Christmas tree, Citibank out in Texas, and on. And you hear these things every year, and the fuss and the feud about Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays and all of these things. And you know what's going to happen if time goes on? This world isn't even going to let you have your little baby Jesus in a manger. Because the spirit of Christmas past preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't even say the name without talking about Jesus. That's why they don't want you saying Merry Christmas. They'd rather just sanitize the whole thing and wash the whole thing from any remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the devil would like. The future of the spirit of Christmas future this morning. I remember when I pastored over at Forest Grove. It's been now 11, 12, 13, 14 years ago. I remember preaching over there, and it was during the Clinton years that I was pastoring over there, and I remember preaching a message, and I said this during the message. I said, if I were the devil, I would keep the good times rolling. If I were the devil, I'd never let the economy falter. You know why? Because when times are going good and credit's flowing free, you know what? We don't need God. We don't think about God. If I was the devil, I'd never let anything bad happen to the economy. I'd keep people buying and spending and having more and wanting more and tearing down and building bigger. I'd never let anything bad happen to the economy if I was the devil. But you know what's happening to the economy? There's something bad happening to the economy. These people losing jobs. These people losing land. These businesses closing down. And all of these things. And I think about it from a spiritual point of view this morning. Could it be that God in His mercy and in His loving kindness towards us, and in desiring to see souls saved and the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ on fire and loving Him, could it be that God in His mercy would give us a time of poverty before the trumpet sounds? Christmas would mean a whole lot more to you if you had a whole lot less. Amen. It would mean a whole lot more to you if you had a whole lot less. Could it be that God in His mercy would give us a time of poverty where we really, really got to see what was important? Could it be that God in His mercy would give us a time of persecution? Because it's going to come down to a lawsuit if you're going to stress Merry Christmas. And I already see people throwing in the white towel. Well, it's not worth fussing over that. I told Kim yesterday, she went to the Christmas parade downtown. I said, how was it? She said, well, it's all right. I said, do you have anything to do with Christ? She said, well, there was one church had a float. And one float said, Happy Holidays, but they saying Merry Christmas. I said, so in other words, you didn't feel like you'd come back from revival. Hey, man. Jesus said in John chapter 15, if that bothers you, you read over there what Jesus said. He said, if the world hated me, it'll hate you too. But you know what? That'd be the best thing in the world for us spiritually. There's a man came in the store one day, probably been about a year ago, and we was talking about the economy. He said, it's you Baptist preachers' fault. I said, has it our fault that the economy's bad? He said, all this praying for revival and stuff. Because we will not receive revival when we're on the top of the mountain. But when we get down low and we really see what's important, then we turn our eyes to the one that's really got the answers. Washington doesn't have any answers. You think God's going to bless a nation that just yesterday decided that be all right to have homosexuals in the military now, and they said they'd make great strides and hope now that it would filter out into the rest of society? I'm a student of history. And God has never blessed a nation that has blessed that type of lifestyle. God's judged everyone. We're no different. But I'll tell you what, this morning, God is a good God. You read the rest of chapter number 8, and I'm not going to take the time to do that this morning, but the rest of chapter number 8 is wonderful. It said, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's us crying unto God and saying, Lord, I love you. You're my Father. Says in verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Look what verse 18 says. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Praise God. There's something better in this old world. There's a lot in there. It talks about your prayer life. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You won't learn how to pray. You won't learn how to pray till you get knocked down a few notches, till the fire of suffering comes into your life, and then you'll find out, well, there's something more to praying than a little bless me and my four no more. Spirit of God will teach you how to pray. Boy, I like all of this. I wish I had time to preach the whole chapter. I like verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I like that. I like verse 20. I like verse number 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I like verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You know what? Whatever happens in this world in the future, as a child of God, it really isn't going to matter. Because we've already got the victory by and through our Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something in closing this morning. It depends on which spirit of Christmas you've got in your heart. If you got the Spirit of Christ, that means the mind of Christ, the will of Christ, the want of Christ, the ways of Christ. But if all you've got is this old fleshly world, you don't have much. And when your kingdom comes falling down, you're going to be pretty disappointed. But I look around at what's happening in the world today, and it excites me. Because I know there's a better day. And I know there's a better time. What spirit lives in your heart today? What spirit lives in your home today? I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'll ask the ladies to come back to the